Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 332.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we celebrate Thanksgiving. Or whatever it is you're celebrating at this time of year, I just hope you have a couple of days off. That's my big hope for you. Today, we have a couple of really excellent conversations lined up from the vault of Fake the Nation, and I think you will thoroughly enjoy them. Let us get ready for topic number one. I am joined by the wonderful comedian whose special you can see on HBO Max in the winter. It is Marcela Arguello. Hey, burr, Marcela. Burr, burr.
It's me.
And I'm joined by just world famous and world fabulous icon, Isaac Mizrahi. Yay. Hey, Isaac.
Yay.
We read a piece about a lady who went skydiving for her 91st birthday. Her name is Ida Shannon. And she raised the money with her church to be able to celebrate her birthday that way. And she'd actually gone ziplining for her 80th birthday. So she is a bit of a thrill seeker. First off, what did you think about hearing about this 91-year-old skydiving?
I mean, I love suicidal 91-year-olds. What a move. Bold, brave, I love it.
Well, you know what? I was waiting for you to say that so that I could, like, you know, counter it by going,
yes.
Really? It feels a little dated to me. It feels a little dated. Like, it feels like if this was 30 years ago and she was 90 and she was skydiving, we'd go, bravo. But already it's like, come on, it's 2022, lady. Can't you think of something? Like, why don't you do, oh, did you read John Waters' amazing memoir of doing, I think it was LSD on the beach? With no. Mink Stole and all these people. Oh, that's wow. What I want to do on my 90th birthday. I want to get back
LSD
into
LSD on the beach.
Yeah, because that's really, that would be even more fabulous than, because he was like scared he was going to die. He was scared he would have cardiac arrest. And then he said it was the greatest thing he ever did. And it's like, you should read that book because it's hilarious, okay? And that's what I want to do when I'm old. I want to reintroduce myself to drugs.
But see, she's 91 in middle America, Isaac. She's not as fabulous as you. She hasn't existed as you have. She has done nothing with herself.
Oh, so she gets skydiving.
So she can be old school. She can be old school, and you can hook and have a heart attack on the beach. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Oh my god! But I love that. I know that I can get you a crack pipe for your 90th birthday, Isaac.
Well, no.
I love that so great.
See what I'm saying? 91.
I actually join you in that because my next question was going to be like, what is on your bucket list? And I definitely think for me, because I'm such a scaredy pants about drugs. Like
me
my
too.
Only real drug experience is with marijuana. Like I don't, and it's so minimal at the end of the day. I never got good at it. I can still barely use a lighter. Like it's a whole dumb, you know, I look like just a dumb person when I'm handling any kind of weed. And I tried once to do acid. I tried once. I can't remember. It was some sort of a pill. And
was it a Quaalude? Because gosh, Quaaludes were amazing.
Oh my god,
like
no.
A Quaalude.
I literally can't remember what it was, but it was like a thing from like the early 2000s that was popular, and it was some sort of a pill. And I was supposed to have an experience, and I purchased this pill, and from my friend or whatever, and I just chickened out. I couldn't do it. And so then I resold it to him.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm like a drug dealer for a moment. And then
I was going to say, you're just a bad shopper.
Exactly. Shopper's remorse, buyer's remorse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do think if I'm not, theoretically that by 90, I would be less scared. Like I've always been I've been like, what is this thing with cocaine that everybody is so obsessed with?
You're obsessed with cocaine. If it's good cocaine, it's very, very fun. I'm just telling you that. It can be extremely fun. And I haven't done it for years. I told you I had like a heart thing with it and I had to stop. But wait a minute.
Right.
What about mushrooms? Has anyone done mushrooms? Because that I've never done.
Very
and
good.
That I want to do.
You
and I'm
do
scared.
It.
I want to do.
But
don't you
vomit or something? I'm scared of barfing. That's
well,
all.
Well, you just.
I don't want
to
barf.
You just have to monitor how much you consume and just be somewhere safe. That's why people go out to the desert, because it's safe to be in the desert.
The desert is safe? Hello?
Well, because
that's like skydiving is safe. Come on. It's not
safe.
No.
I mean in the sense that you rent a house. It's in the middle of nowhere. You're not going to like go be a fucking, you're not going to run into the ocean because
well,
you're high on mushrooms.
Well, I was going to say, right, go out on a boat, go out on a yacht and do mushrooms. No, not such a great idea.
I think you need to have a sober person around if you've never done it. I think the idea of like everyone in the group is doing mushrooms and nobody is chaperoning.
But wait, when
scared.
I was a
I
kid.
I don't agree with that. I think you need to be around people that you feel safe with and that are, you know, like you physically feel safe with at all times when you're sober. And then.
I don't know about that. You see, that's what I'm going to contest with you, Marcella.
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't know.
That's the complication. It's like, because I remember the first few times I did marijuana when I was like 14 or something.
But you can't
I did
compare
it with,
marijuana to mushrooms.
Oh, you can't.
But wait,
I'm just going to tell you.
Okay, go ahead,
but here's the thing, because you can't compare. I don't think you can compare like cocaine to marijuana
Absolutely.
Or
yeah.
shrooms. But it's like, but I remember like when I did it with people that I really loved and that I really felt safe with. And the minute I was high on marijuana, I looked at them like, oh my God, they're going to kill me. Like that's how
it turned. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, people that I thought made me feel safe made me feel like they were going to dangle me out the window, like Michael Jackson and that little baby or whatever.
But
seriously.
The argument could also be made that, what was it laced with something? Do you know where you got it?
Well, that's what I mean.
That's
like, how
the
do
other
you know,
thing.
Darling? Right.
Especially back in, I mean, now you can go to a store, but back in the day, you couldn't go to a store. I mean, and now you can't even go to a store in most places. I was performing at the Wilco Solid Sound Festival, which attracted Wilco doing comedy or whatever, and with the Honorable John Hodgman, another veteran of Fake the Nation, and we ran into these like women who were at the festival from like South Carolina, and the festival's
God.
In Massachusetts, and they were like
were they
out
Lindsey
to
Graham
dispense
supporters?
Well, I mean, no, they were like out to dispensaries buying marijuana. And they were like, they don't, you know, we can't buy these where we're from, you know? And she's like, I love that it's legal here. Aww. And they were like totally getting their weed fixed. But like when, you know, when you're in a place where it's illegal, it's like, you don't know what you're getting.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And hopefully it's just oregano and then no, everybody's fine, you know?
Right.
But is there anything else that like you really want to do by the time you're 90?
You know what I want to do?
Hmm.
I want to just go away and not know when I'm coming back.
Hmm.
I want to like
Ooh,
get on a plane,
one-way
and just
ticket.
Go somewhere and then go somewhere else and then go somewhere else and not think about how
not
sad I am
plan.
Without my dogs. How sad I am without, like, you know, the New York Times at the doorstep, because I still get the New York Times every morning. You know, as a New Yorker, it's very hard to leave. I'm from here. So it's like,
yeah.
As a New Yorker, it's very, very, very hard to leave this island, you know? And I like traveling, and I used to travel a lot. And then I just got so panicky about it, right? And then I started again before COVID, like about 10 years before COVID, and we got into it. We were sort of doing it. And then it just ended, and I was like, guess what? If I never have to do this again, I'll be so happy. And like the other day I had to appear in Boston and we drove and it was great. And I thought, oh, avoid an airport, you know, and we have plans to go to London, we have plans coming up, and I'm panicked, you know, but I feel like if I could go somewhere and just stay away and go another place and not know, you know, that would be, but who would take care of the dogs? You know, it's like, who would water the
you,
plant?
You know? Don't want to deal with like logistics. Is that what it is?
I don't want to deal with airports and airplanes because I'm always afraid I'm going to end up in like a Turkish prison, you know, like Midnight Express or something.
Right,
I have
a very vivid
imagination that I'm going to be going through customs in Turkey. Someone's going to see and they're going to take me away and like lock me in a room for the rest of my life because someone planted marijuana on me, you know?
Right.
Well, it's also illegal to be homosexual in many places still. So
well, there
there's
also that.
There,
so there's also that. Is there something, Marcella, you want to definitely do before you're 90?
Not really. I'm ready to die now.
Or like,
I've traveled. I've
what
seen
a great
things.
Answer.
I mean, I don't like to do all that skydiving bullshit. That doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah,
I don't even like roller coasters. I'm intimidated by the ocean. I respect the ocean, you know. So like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. If I died after this, I'd be like, yeah, that was a good life.
What about that Hot Wings show? Would you do that Hot Wings
God,
show?
God no. No, my skin is so sensitive.
You know
so
what?
Sensitive.
I want to do the Hot Wings show.
My skin is so sensitive
to
spice that when I eat something spicy, the surrounding parts of my mouth gets like irritated and red. So I would be humiliated if I ever went on that show.
Hilarious.
I first of all, don't understand the affinity for like something very, very spicy just in general.
Yeah.
And I want to just be upfront about that so you know where I'm coming from.
I like
from.
Hot food, but not that crazy, crazy.
Where there's
hot
no
food.
Other flavor.
Right. There's
right,
no other flavor.
Right.
It's just deadness in your palate. Yeah. It's not
yeah.
Okay.
And,
not
and
okay.
Just a feeling of like pending doom in your whole head.
Like,
keep
waiting,
I don't need to
waiting,
feel
waiting,
that.
Waiting.
And you're like crying and like it's, you're just, am I, you're like, can I go on? Like, I don't, why do I need to feel existential angst because I'm eating a taco? You know what I mean? It's like, I can't.
And it goes through the whole body, the throat, the stomach, the butt.
No, thank you.
By the way, that was Nagin talking herself out of a Hot Wings segment that she was about to have in Fake the Nation.
Guys, it's a really popular show and I'll do it.
I'll do it
for the
I
views.
I have no
ethics when it comes to, I'm not going to stand by my own convictions.
Right, exactly.
All right, folks. Well, it was fun to talk to you about this 91-year-old who did a thing that none of us want to do.
No.
I mean, I can see that skydiving is exciting, but I do also feel like this one time I was driving and look, we to this day don't know what we saw, but we feel like we saw not a skydiving thing, but like a hang gliding thing, and where a parachute, something didn't open or whatever, and like a thing fell, and we were like, oh God, I hope that
Jesus.
Wasn't a fucking person. We were driving on a freeway and saw it in a distance, so it's like we couldn't quite tell what we were seeing, but it was a really fucked up image.
Oh God.
And we were like, no, it was just a person-sized thing. It wasn't a person, and like we just lived that way because we couldn't, you know, like we Googled it lightly and couldn't figure anything out, but anyways. So I just like the idea of that.
Like I said, suicidal 91-year-old that lady is.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I have no interest. I have no interest in that.
How do her 91-year-old bones handle that shit?
Right?
Well, you're supposed to do a nice, oh yeah, the landing is not going to be easy for that, right? Because you still, it's still like an impact on the landing, right?
There's something.
Maybe she's wearing like a fat suit or something, you know?
Well, no, because you do it.
No, like a, one of those, you know, those blow up suits, like a big
Pikachu suit.
A dinosaur.
Totally. No, that's exactly. Right, and yes, you know what? And that's what it is, Isaac. Thank you for figuring that out. That's how she did it. And
I don't know. Or maybe, I don't know. God knows. It's her problem, honey. It's not my problem.
All right, folks. Let me know what is on your bucket list. And were you inspired by this Minnesota woman who went skydiving at 91? Oh, I knew this was going to be a fun one. You guys are just so goddamn delightful and funny. And I would love for the people of Faith Nation to be able to find you and all of the wonderful things that you do. Marcella, where do they find you?
You can find me at Marcella Comedy across all social media. Thank you so much. Please follow me. For the love of God, come to my shows.
Isaac, you're a man that does a million things. Where do you want the people of Faith Nation to be able to follow all of that?
Well, you know what? You could follow me on Instagram at I am Isaac Mizrahi. And or you can follow my website or something. Do anybody follow your website? Do you follow? It's called Hello Isaac. You can go on and I don't know what.
Bookmark.
Subscribe. Oh, wait,
bookmark
subscribe.
Is bookmark website.
And subscribe or something, because then we can send you links.
Yeah, you'll probably join the mailing list.
McGee sends
I'm
links.
I'm assuming. Okay, we're going to take a quick break so we can hear from our sponsors. And when we get back, we'll continue talking. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we are back, and we're ready for the last topic. I am joined by the host of the Under the Desk show on TikTok and the V Interesting podcast. It's the wonderful V Spear. Hey, V.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm also joined by the amazing progressive communication strategist and writer and all-around fantastic chatter in person, Sally Cohn. Hey, Sally.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you again.
So our wonderful producer, Andrew, found this incredible poll that found the average American has accidentally sent 6 intimate messages or photos to the wrong person. And does this data track for either of you?
Clarifying question. Sorry, because yes. I know I read this, but now I promptly forgot. Six average to the same person, or 6 times sent different ones to the wrong people? This influences my opinion.
Oh, you know what? I don't even think the data really specifies.
I mean, I assume it's 6 different times to 6 different wrong people. So which suggests the number of times
it can't
you
be
must
the same
be,
person.
Right, because how can you make a mistake 6 times? I mean, again, ask my partner. She'll be like, easy, asshole. But it would think about the volume you have to be engaging in.
Right, that's what
average.
I'm saying. The volume. It has to be. So for you to make 6 mistakes, you have to be sending in a year or whatever.
I don't know. Who's the statistician here?
Dozens and dozens
at
of
least.
Fucking... It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, V,
okay,
you're
go ahead, V.
Like, no, that number makes sense.
So I've never accidentally sent the wrong text to multiple girls, but I have sent the wrong text where my wife is in a group chat, but I only see Natalie, and so I want to send her something. And then it's also like copying in my mom on something potentially like fairly saucy, but not too saucy, or like our whole group chat of friends. And I'm like, I just miss you and love you so much. And then my mom will be like, that's so nice. And I'm like, not you. I thought this was my single chat to my wife, or just like rashes, or like, I don't know, bathroom stuff, like all the shit we share with our spouse that we think is funny, but is actually gross and then ends up in her group chat with like her friends from college.
You know, it's possible that some people in the poll think that's sexting.
They might. Oh, God.
I have never sent a sext.
Oh. You really?
Oh.
I know. Guys, I told you.
You need to
sex your wife
right now.
I'm like vanilla. I don't, but it, okay, and this is also like the whole, Nagin, you're going to get there when your kid gets a phone. But like,
oh,
I tell my kid, I'm like, you don't fucking put it on the phone.
No.
Unless you want the whole world to see it. And I,
and
you
potentially
know, and
the federal government. Yeah.
I'm a deeply paranoid person when it comes to stuff like that. Plus a lot of the like communications training work I do, I have a whole universe of folks I work with who do like digital privacy, you know, creepy surveillance state stuff that nobody like when I find out about it, I'm like throw out the phone. Like, so
I have sent a photo or two in my time, however it's not even that revealing. It's a set, like, the photos I've sent are like, oh,
show
so
us.
You were like, just, you were like taking a photo on a beach. I know, like, let me take them out. Let me just post them online for everybody to see what I'm talking about. But like, but I've taken photos that are just basically chaste versions of what other people are sending, which are just too much erotica for me to handle in like, an
plus
on
that
on
shit
phone.
Gets uploaded to the cloud. Do you know what
it
I'm
does,
saying?
It does.
Like, it's on the cloud.
I
and
would
once
truly
it's on the cloud,
never trust. I have a trust issue as well. I have I have privacy fears. I'm just not. I just couldn't. I'm not gonna.
No, even, it
I
would
have
end up in a
privacy
PowerPoint.
Fears of something in my on my own phone. Like, not even sending it to someone. I would have privacy issues.
Well, plus,
you know,
I'm lucky. I got a smartphone right around when I started being a lefty lesbian on Fox News. So it really does, like, kind of. You know, you're like, don't, did you, you know, like, it, you know, it could all be, so you just don't, when in doubt, leave it out.
Or put it away. When in doubt, keep it in, maybe.
Oh, good point.
Right.
That could be interpreted either way, I suppose.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. I have a big male audience, so I want to make sure, when in doubt, when you're listening to me,
keep it in, yes.
I have never, okay, so here's the other thing, and this is just a side note, Nagin. I have never, like, I don't get graphic things sent to me. And this is this is by virtue of being a butch lesbian, for which I'm grateful in many ways, and this is one. I don't know about you, V. But because my like femme-identified friends, gay or straight, who have been in the public eye, Fox News or elsewhere, man, the pictures they get, the feet, the feet with dicks, the dicks with feet. I've never gotten those. I've also never received that. You must get some of that, Nagin.
Well, I've gotten some like DMs that they'll then blur, and then they'll, you know, I'll, you know, stuff like that. I just have to say, I think I have gotten some stuff. I think not as much as other women, in part because I just think people will see me and be like, she's not the type to enjoy it. I think it's very clear. You know what I mean?
Is anyone the type to enjoy that? I mean, are they really motivated? Is that their thing? They're like, you know, I think she'd enjoy like a dick
but
pic.
I immediately delete. I can barely look at it.
There's a girl who did an art project about it. She just published like dozens of the ones that she got. She created an art installation, printed them all out, and like hung them for a museum. We'll have to find
that's
it. And look
that's
it up.
A useful, you know, she really figured out how to make it useful.
Monetize everything.
Monetize everything. Yes. Half of those who send in intimate photos claim they do so at least once a week, 52%. That's another 29% send them once a month or more. Many attribute sexting to maintaining long distance relationships, which is a whole, I feel like those people, we should control for that category because that's different, I feel.
Yes.
If you're in a long distance relationship, you gotta do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
At least but you signal.
And you remember what everything looks like. I don't need a picture of it. I mean, that would be, I don't know, I would be freaked out.
Remember, like, the phone, what was phone sexting called? What voice phone part,
sex?
That part.
Phone sex.
What was phone sexting, but with your voice?
You didn't use your phone.
It was called Rocco's Modern Life, and it was his job when we were children on the cartoon, and that's why we're all weird now and afraid.
Phone sex, by the way, I think requires more artistry. And you know what I mean? And so I feel like that's at least more interesting or something.
Man.
Yeah, there's no ASMR to a dick pic, right? Like I need.
Yeah. A dick pic, it feels so just like it's not something I would return. I'm not returning to a dick pic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let me take a look at that vein one more time. Like, I just can't. Okay, so here we go. Being asked by a partner, 45% get asked by a partner. They send dick pics or whatever to because they were asked by a partner or to feel attractive. 44% do it to feel attractive. 42% said they send them just because they feel like it.
And 10% do it because they're members of Congress. You know, I feel like a prude in this conversation. I just feel like a prude in this conversation.
His name was Anthony Weiner, no less.
No, so on the nose. Not really the nose, but you know. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. Now, speaking about our privacy concerns, this was the detail that I thought most shocking. Nearly 3/4 of those who shared intimate photos found that they were leaked or shared without their permission.
Yeah, people.
So this thing that I fear has literally happened to 73% of these respondents.
Well, did you read?
That's there was an there, insane number.
There was a piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole revenge porn thing. You know, there there was a piece in the Times. I want to say it was 2 years ago because it was right before we finally broke down and got my kid a phone. We were the last.
At what age? Sorry, can I ask what age?
Oh yeah,
did you break
no.
Down?
She was. Wait a second. It was either right before her. It might have been right before her 13th birthday, so it must have been.
Oh, nice.
Ago.
Okay, that's.
Yeah,
that's
we were
reasonable.
The last. We're the best. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I have a friend who held out until 14, and it was.
I mean,
the
we tried. She started taking the subway alone then, so right. We were like, right. Okay, fine. But there was a piece in the Times about a girl who in high school had like shared a suggestive photo with a boyfriend, and our video. I can't remember the details, and anyway, it ended up like. it got shared around, and then someone put it on Pornhub. Though it's child pornography, it keeps getting, you know, you can't, like,
take it down.
They can't take it down fast enough. And, you know, I want to say the story ended in, like, you know, I mean, ruined her life, you know, huge emotional, psychological scars from it. You know, affected college, didn't finish, you know, ended up living in her car. Like, just these real... Like, honestly, and so let's go back to Anthony Weiner, who, like, got a fucking comeback, right?
I know.
Like, a grown-ass man, sending his penis to strangers, gets a fucking comeback until he does it again, of course. And then, like, last I saw, had a pretty promising job. You know, and, like, was probably still making six figures and blah, blah. You know, it's just
so,
like,
different for men.
God.
Yeah, because it's been, like, kind of, like, normalized or whatever. And it's been happening since before even the picture phones, right? I remember being in high school in the 90s, and we had, like, a photo lab, and this girl that I went to school with had, like, taken a picture scandalously with her boyfriend. They broke up. He printed out, like, dozens of them, like, and threw them down the spiral staircase. Like,
what?
Yes.
But why, first of all, why the spiral staircase? What was the significance?
It was very dramatic. It was like, I grew up in this place in Connecticut called the Valley that I swear to God, it like inspired every teenage terrible movie that you ever watched.
Okay.
She just ended up switching schools, and I hope she's okay wherever she was, but it was like,
that's horrible.
It's just something that people have done, this revenge porn thing. And it's like, oh, it's so gross. It's so forever icky. It's not like got to be careful with the forever ickies. You don't want to be a part of those.
So the lesson is, kids, don't fucking do it.
Don't take naked pictures
for anyone.
Also, I mean,
you mentioned Anthony Weiner, who gets a second chance and then does it again. I don't have an addictive personality when it comes to, like, genitalia photography. So, like, I don't know the feeling. I don't know the feeling.
I'm going,
like,
to need that on the t-shirt, too. Go on.
You know what? With Anthony Weiner, and I was working as a waiter for his brother, Jason, at a restaurant called Almond in New York City. So we were, like, very front row to this whole thing at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for him, it was more like, I don't even know if it's, like, a sexy thing for them, or if it's, like, a power thing for them, or if it's, like, a feeling young thing for them. But it was like he was sending these pictures, and he wasn't even, from what I recall, full nude in them. He was in, like, his disgusting, saggy, gray underwear. And, like... You know, his wife was Uma Abedin, like Hillary's number two, like arguably
also
one of the most
beautiful
women
in the world.
I mean,
gorgeous. Oddly.
Also a great tipper, so nice to the waiter, like incredible person, just a lovely, lovely person. And like you're stepping out on her, and it has to come from a place of just insecurity and like people who ruin things because they feel like they can't keep up with them. I don't know. Maybe I'm now a Weiner apologizer.
I would love to.
It was sad.
It's a very interesting, like, psychological situation of just like, why, when you have so much going for you, what is the thing, you know?
This, like, escape to immaturity or something. I don't know. It was very sad, though.
It's so funny, though. Like, literally, I think for me, by the way, for people who feel like they want to feel young again or whatever, instead of sending, again, engaging in genitalia photography, I would, because I'll, like, feel like, oh, I want to feel like a something, you know, like a 22-year-oldness in my bones. I'll just, like, walk into a bar and just, like, I don't know, and kind of, like, look around like I'm single,
serve hotness.
Yeah, and I'll just, like walk with some nipple energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
my acting teacher always used to talk about, like, you know, walk, like, do your auditions with nipple energy.
Okay, we need that on a t-shirt.
And
too.
Asserting nipple energy, which is essentially just having good posture, by the way. It was a fun way of saying have good posture. Will kind of make you feel cool and young. And it's so dumb, but like if you're ever on the street and you're feeling dumb and dowdy and shit, just like throw up some good posture.
Honestly.
And you'll like feel a little different.
Eat some candy.
You know?
I'm saying eat some candy. You know?
But also, like, no, think of your nipples like radiating confidence and energy, like a glowing orb on the end of your boobs. I don't know. There's something there.
I don't even have nipples anywhere. Now I'm really sad. Yeah, I had that top surgery that, you know, and you lose the nipples.
Yeah, which is the
greatest thing that ever happened to me. I 10 out of 10 recommend it for anybody.
Well, by the way, the nipple energy is glowing orbs. It's not actually what happens. So you don't, you know, nipple energy is 100%, you know, something that's dreamt. It's imaginary. Yeah, so...
I got so much from this conversation, really.
Folks, I don't even know. What was this conversation? It was a conversation
It was you about asking lesbians about dick pics, and then we somehow made like 30 minutes of content out of, which was great.
Fantastic.
This is what I like to do. I like to bring lesbians together to talk about dick pics. That's just what the show is about. That's what Fake the Nation is about. Folks, let me know what you think Fake the Nation is about. Oh, God, I had so much fun on this rainy day in New York. This is what I needed. So thank you so much. And I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the wonderful things that you do. V, this was your first time on. Hopefully not your last. You're so incredible. Where do people find you?
So you can find the V Interesting podcast wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to this, V Interesting. And you can follow me at Under the Desk News on TikTok and Instagram. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for people to discover Under the Desk News and your podcast. And just, folks, immediately subscribe. Do what you got to do. Sally Cohn, where do people find you?
Literally under my desk. I mean, that's the difference between V and I. I'm just actually hiding under a desk. It's a very scary time, folks. And occasionally I'll tweet. I don't really tweet anymore. We all know it. Or Instagram, both of which, or I guess Facebook, I'm on there. I don't know. It auto-populates at Sally Cohn, K-U-H-N. I love you as always, Nagin. I miss you.
Oh my gosh. I miss you too. You're so delightful. Follow everything that Sally does. She under reports her own output, which involves a lot of writing. So you can also read her many good works in various publications. So I'll be on the lookout. Folks, that's the end of the show. I want to thank all the panelists for joining us. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Lo, these many years of Fake the Nation. I hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you're overdoing it and indulging your sweet tooth and spending time with your family and spending time on your couch and kicking up your feet or whatever it is that makes you happy. I would like to really thank all of the people that make this show a possibility. That's the wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire, our fantastic audio engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and Andrew, Stephanie, if I don't say it enough, you guys are the fucking best. I also want to thank our wonderful, composer of our theme music, Gabby Alter. I want to thank everyone at HeadGum, who I hope is also enjoying Thanksgiving. And please keep your ideas coming. You can email me by going to NaginParsad.com. Email me through my website. You can DM me on all of the platforms. And I love all of your ideas. So keep them coming. Don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. And we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.